Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, a chapter 4 entitled The Characteristics of Rishabdev. Today's text number 16. So we shall break up the line into two parts, so there'll be sort of a verse meter. Yadyapi sva viditam sakala dharmam brahmam guyam brahmanai dashita margena samadibir upayai janatam anusasasa. All right, we shall do the word for word together now. Yadyapi, although svaviditam, known by him, sakala dharmam, which includes all different types of occupational duties, brahmam, Vedic instruction, guyam, very confidential, brahmanai, by the brahmanas, darshita margena, by the path showed, sama adibi, sama dhamma titiksha, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, practicing tolerance, and so on. Upayahi, by the means, janatam, the people in general, anusasasa, he ruled over. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Although Lord Rishabdev knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintained himself as a Kshatriya and followed the instructions of the Brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth. Thus he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashram Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas and the Kshatriyas administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Sudras. Purport. Although Rishabdev knew all the Vedic instructions perfectly well, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to perfectly maintain the social order. The Brahmanas would give advice according to the Shastras, and all the other castes would follow. The word Brahma means perfect knowledge of all activities. And this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. Men trained perfectly as Brahmanas should know all Vedic literature, and the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. The general populace should follow the perfect Brahmana. In this way, one can learn how to control the mind and senses, and thus gradually advance to spiritual perfection. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sendubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In the final months prior to Srila Prabhupada's disappearance from this planet, round about August, September, he wanted very much to go back to the Western world for one last time. And he especially wanted to reach America. So Prabhupada eventually went, you could say, halfway. In August of 1977, he reached the Bhaktivedanta Manor at that time. And he inquired from Tamal Krishna Goswami, what is the progress? Although in that state, you know, practically he has to be carried all the time in that state. So he inquired from Tamal Krishna Goswami, what is the progress of his U.S. residency. You see, imagine. In other words, he wanted to become a resident of the United States at that time. Like that. So, one of our leaders at that time, Balavanta Prabhu, you know, he went directly to Washington, D.C., the capital. Like that. And when he phoned to say that Srila Prabhupada would have no difficulty in getting his residency renewed. And that's, he would have no difficulty, so please come. You know, in that sense, like that. So Tamal Krishna Goswami, he conveyed this message to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was in a very frail condition, but still he used to follow taking his massage. And at that time Upendra Prabhu was massaging Srila Prabhupada. Like that. So immediately when he heard the news from Tamal Krishna Goswami that the American government said, there's no problem, please come. You know, like that. Then tears swelled up in Srila Prabhupada's eyes. Tears swelled up fully in Srila Prabhupada's eyes. And with a choked voice, he said, America has been so good to me. America gave me money. America gave me men. And America gave me everything. It was so good to me in that sense. And then Srila Prabhupada said, in that sense I have no designation that, you know, this is my country and this is your country, in that way. He said, because they have given me so much facility to fulfill the order of my spiritual master, I cannot forget them. In fact, I am obliged to them. In fact, I want to make all the Americans happy. Like that. And through them, through the Americans, he can make the whole world happy. Prabhupada felt that way at that time. This is barely 2 or 3 months before he could manifest his disappearance, pastime. So Srila Prabhupada did look forward to traveling to America after Janmashtami in the manor and so forth, and which was falling in early September. He wanted to spend about 2 weeks in England and then move on to America. Like that. And then Srila Prabhupada replied, I want to live a little longer. Because that's like an amazing statement. When he said that, I want to live a little longer, you know, the devotees were in ecstasy. Although such a frail body. And he said, the reason I want to live a little longer is to make everything more perfect. Like that. Tamakrishna Goswami asked, so how will you do this? You know, will you do this by enthusing the devotees, by staying with them? Like that. In other words, here's the consciousness of Tamakrishna Goswami that, you know, in other words, everyone's relatively young. So how will you do that, by to live a little longer? What would you do to make everything perfect? In other words, will you stay with the devotees to enthuse them, you know, further in Krishna consciousness? And then Tamakrishna Goswami asked him, is there a specific program that you are considering in your consciousness, like specific program? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, a specific program. And specifically he said at that time, that in order to make everything more perfect, I want to introduce Varna Ashram Dharma. Like that. And then he gave the example that especially he said that at our Pennsylvania farm, I believe he was referring to Gitanagari, and at that time, the biggest problem of life is already solved, and that is food. He said it's already solved, and that is food. So yeah, in the same way, Lord Rishabhdev is, being the Supreme Lord Himself, is actually establishing Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma, you know, within His own sphere of influence in Bharata Varsha as the king. And Prabhupada very much also wanted to do this. You know, Atapumsi Dvija Shesta Varna Ashrama Vibhaga Saha. In other words, Swanusta Swanutistasya Dharmasya Samsidhi Haritoshanam. You know, there's a goal that's related to Varna Ashram Dharma. It's not just establishing Varna Ashram Dharma, but the different divisions and orders of life, it has to be established in terms of the Daivihi principle, the transcendental principle. It means, you know, Samsidhi Haritoshanam is to actually please Vishnu or Krishna in that sense. In other words, we can very much easily fall into the trap of pleasing our natures according to Varna Ashram Dharma, pleasing our natures. But the actual fact is that we should please the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the system of Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. We can get caught up just in the Varna Ashram Dharma and not make it Daivihi in relation to Haritoshanam, in relation to pleasing Vishnu, pleasing Krishna. Now, At one time, when Srila Prabhupada was visiting Madras, Achyutananda Swami Maharaj, he asked Srila Prabhupada a question. He said that, is it necessary that a person should pass through the, you could say, three ashrams, brahmachari, grihastha and vanaprastha, before coming to sannyas? This is within Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. And Srila Prabhupada said, it's not really a necessity, but it is normal. It's normal, like that. And then he went on to say that if you're a brahmana, then you must go through brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and then take sannyas. If you're a brahmana, in that sense. Brahmana by merit and by training and by qualification, like that. So this is for brahmanas especially, like that. And he said for kshatriyas, they basically have to go through brahmachari, grihastha and vanaprastha. That's enough, like that. And we have the example of the Pandavas. In that sense, they didn't really take sannyas. They went up to the north, you know, to Bhadrika Ashram and in the vanaprastha stage. In that sense. And for the Vaishyas, he said, just brahmachari and grihastha. Like that. And he said, for the Sudras, just grihastha. In that sense. So this is the process. This is the process. And Prabhupada says, it's a normal process. It's normal. It's not something of a need and necessity, but it's normally meant to be followed. Like that. And then he said, either any one of them, if they take to Krishna consciousness, then they become above these rules and regulations and so forth. But we see sometimes somebody may feel that they are above the rules and regulations, but they may not necessarily be in the category of Brahman and take sannyas in that sense. So that should also be there. And this requires a very accurate, you could say, kingly or kshatriya leadership to place people in certain ashrams and in certain dharmas. Of course, through the directions of the brahmanas. Through the directions of the brahmanas. In that way. And as Srila Prabhupada said, that Krishna worship or Vishnu worship is the ultimate aim of human life. And we also see that in a general sense there are three types of life. You know, there's animal life in human bodies. We all know what that is. You know, human beings acting like animals. Don't have to go much in detail for that. Then there's human life in human bodies. And most people have to be brought through our preaching from animal life in human bodies to human life in human bodies. Most people like that. You could say a very select few, although they may know about spiritual life in human bodies. You get animal life in human bodies, human life in human bodies, and you get spiritual life in human bodies, although they may know, but they may not be able to follow the four regulative principles. Most people are like that. They may not be able to follow the four regulative principles. So at least for the best in our Krishna conscious preaching and the mission, we should actually try to bring people from animal life in human bodies to human life in human bodies. And that basically is Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. Human life in human bodies. We find that even devotees who take to the process of being duly initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, we find they may take that step, but in a number of cases they may not be able to follow even after initiation. So is there like a tendency in the consciousness that I'm not a devotee? You know, I'm not a devotee. No, the greater magnanimity of the Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma system will bring them to be a member. Within being, you could say in one sense, human life in human bodies. Like that. And not everyone will take the practicality and will take the time to actually, you know, commit themselves to chant 16 rounds daily of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Not everyone will take that to that. So therefore Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma comes into focus in that sense. So therefore it is a first stepping stone, as Srila Prabhupada says, where one becomes, you could say, free from unrestricted sense enjoyment to a sort of license, indulgence and sense enjoyment, and then become completely free of sense enjoyment itself through the process of Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. Now we are aware we have a lot of work to do, and maybe there's less time but more service to do in preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness. Because there's still so many people who actually do not know the ultimate goal of life, which means to approach Krishna or Vishnu and please the Supreme Lord in devotional service. And they have taken the materialistic way of life as being everything, and have become captivated practically by materialistic activities in that way. And the present leaders, they are actually encouraging people and the general population to follow in the path of unrestricted sense gratification and sense enjoyment. The leaders are doing that, like that. And even if there's some leader that is meaning well to introduce moral, social and ethical values, he becomes overwhelmed. He becomes overwhelmed. It's not so easy. He becomes overwhelmed. Let's take that incense and put the incense on the other side. He becomes overwhelmed, even trying to bring people at least out of the mode of passion and ignorance to the mode of goodness, like that. So because of people being ignorant of the laws of God, in order to rectify the world situation, as Prabhupada used to say, as somehow or the other they should be introduced to Krishna consciousness, like that, and act according to the, and Prabhupada specifically, act according to the Varna Ashram system, like that. So they may not be fully Krishna conscious in terms of following the four regulative principles, or they may not be fully Krishna conscious in chanting minimum 16 rounds daily, but at least they'll come to understand and accept and know that there are people that are higher than them who are practicing spiritually. Basically the four regulative principles and chanting minimum 16 rounds are for brahmanas. But when we spread Krishna consciousness, the rest of the population should know, okay, these are the brahmanas. And then automatically there's a sense of respect. There's a sense of being, you could say, subordinate to the instructions, subordinate to the advice to follow. So that's called Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. We don't expect everyone to actually follow nicely. We don't expect that. Like for example, it is expected that a brahmana will attend Mangala Arati, like that. But it's not expected that a kshatriya will attend Mangala Arati. So therefore we find, although Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that second initiation is also given to kshatriyas and vaishyas, but not the sudras. So sometimes there's a tendency to feel that everyone who has a Brahman thread in ISKCON is actually a Brahmana, which is actually not the case. You may be second initiated, but you may have some administrative tendencies. You may have some management tendencies, more than actually giving advice spiritually or giving instruction spiritually. You can be second initiated. So therefore you'll find sometimes you'll find managers in ISKCON and devotees who are doing that type of service. They may not have had time to go to Mangalarti. Because in a sense with the Daivi Varna Ashram system, it's not expected of them. It's not expected of them. But they actually always follow those who go to Mangalarti. They follow those because those persons give the actual spiritual instruction. They imbued with transcendence only, exclusively, which are the brahmanas. In that sense. And then you'll find some devotees are very good at banking, very good at making money, very good at trade, very good at farming, agriculture, and so forth. So they're automatically in the Vaishya mood, like that. See? And here again for them, they do not really need to go to Mangalarti, because for them very early means to go to the fields. To go to the fields, like that. So the devotees have to find their niche and fit in, sort of, in that sense. But the ultimate ultimate instruction given in this purport and given by Rishabda's behavior is that they have to follow the brahmanas. Like that. Like, it's not that within ISKCON the kshatriyas and the vaishyas become spiritual leaders. They may have that tendency, but they have to still follow the instructions of the brahmanas who are 100% involved in spirituality. In that way. Like that. Sometimes that's a bit of discussion for Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. So now we get a bit of a discussion for Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, like that. That particular famous verse, Prayana Alpa Ayusya Sabya Kalo Asmin Yuge Janaha Mandusamanda Mateya Mandabhagihi Upadrutaha. And this indicates in the particular verse that people are disturbed, quarrelsome, lazy, short-lived, and so forth, like that. It may be like a negative description of the persons in the Kali Yuga, like that. Have short lives and so forth, unlucky. Yeah. And in that particular purport, Prabhupada makes a very interesting, you could say, observance. And sometimes you may feel that observance that Prabhupada makes applies to maybe non-devotees, but it can apply to our own community in many ways like that. He says that the student of Brahmachari communities are no longer being maintained. He makes it very clear, they're no longer being maintained. And because they are no longer being maintained, the grihasthas themselves do not observe the rules and regulations of the grihastha ashram properly, like that. And then consequently, so-called vanaprasthas and sannyasis who come out of such grihastha ashrams are easily deviated from the rigid path. They easily deviated. So what does this mean? It means that within Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma, within Krishna consciousness, we are aware from experience and realization, practically all of us, we are aware that during Srila Prabhupada's time and even after that in the early 80s, if you want to be a devotee, you have to stay in the temple. You have to move into a temple and move into an ashram. Like that. And automatically living in a temple and living in an ashram, you are prone to be under shelter. You automatically, even if you don't want to be under shelter, but you're automatically under shelter. Like that. And in a broad sense, one has three, One has three categories of authorities, but two or more of the categories may be one person. So there is the spiritual authority, there is the service authority, and there is the ashram authority. So automatically one fits into that if one lives in a temple. Spiritual authority, ashram authority, service authority. Like that. But since Krishna consciousness has spread in a different direction in the late 80s, early 90s, congregationally, these types of authorities in a devotee's life is not so prominent. Is not so prominent like that. In other words, you can be a devotee of sorts to a greater or lesser extent, but if you're not under some shelter and some care and some protection, then it is not easy to make spiritual progress like that. Like if you're congregationally based and if you're not changing your rounds for 6 weeks, nobody will even know. You understand? It's a very simple example. And if you're breaking the principles for a couple of years, nobody will even know. But if you stay in an ashram environment, brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyas ashram, and generally during Srila Prabhupada's time and in the early 80s, we are staying like that. And we are still staying like that, you know, to some extent in our temples, like that. So it is important, just like Rishabdev was under the authority of the brahmanas, like that. And generally in an ashram system, the brahmanas become one's spiritual authority, even service authority, and even ashram authority, in that sense. So that can be extended to the congregation, where they should accept brahmanas who live in an ashram as service authorities, ashram authorities, and spiritual authorities. They should accept like that. And do not really restrict it just to being initiated and I have an initiating guru. It should be quite localized in terms of shiksha. It should be quite localized. And in that way we want to take care more of the devotees through the ashram authority, through the service authority, and through spiritual authorities in that way. Sometimes I'm asked the question quite often this question comes up, and especially with devotees living in the congregation and so forth. You know, I have children, they don't want to listen, you know, they don't want to chant japa, they only want iPad, iPod, and iPhone, you know, that type of thing. They're into gadgets and they don't really want to come to the temple on a Sunday. They don't feel like coming. In fact, you have to drag them there. What to do? In that sense, like that. So yet again, Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma comes into focus like that. So my answer is twofold. I said, so long as you do not have a village to bring up a child, it's not going to happen. It requires a whole village to bring up a child, to bring up a family, and to bring up a community. And therefore Prabhupada did emphasize farm communities. It requires that to bring up an entire family and an entire community like that. But for practicality's sake, we do not really have such communities in every continent, but in some places it may exist. It may exist. And they're very successful because of given the Brahmanical leadership, it becomes highly successful given the Brahmanical leadership. So then my response is that you just have to keep your heart open to your children. In other words, your children should always know that you are there for them. Even if they do something wrong, that's fine, because you don't have a village to bring up a whole child like that. In other words, the children should know that you're always there for them, even if they do something wrong. At least that much can be there. So then they get this sense and the consciousness, yes, my parents are always there for me, even if I do something wrong, let me admit it and try to do something right in the future. So this sense of farm communities and establishing the Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma in the line of what Rishabdev is following from the Brahmanical class instructions, and life becomes peaceful. And as we know, there's no question of happiness without peace. There's no question of happiness without peace. And that is one of the main aspects of bringing about a peaceful condition through Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. All right, we'll leave some time for questions and comments if you like. We'll take Maharaj first. Probably, if he offers a comment, would be better. Maharaj.
Wondering about some statements that Prabhupada made also about his initiated disciples, they should attend, you know, the morning and evening programs, and if they didn't, they were not serious about the spiritual life. And so some of them might be judging us, some of them might be anxious.
Yes.
So I believe that. How do we incorporate that also?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'll give an example that may help to answer on a practical level like that. But if you have more to say about it yourself, you're welcome to do so also. There's one disciple of Srila Prabhupada. You know, she always lived in an ashram. She was a brahmacharini. And she was very happy attending the morning program and so forth like that. So about maybe 10 years ago, I was visiting that area, and subsequently she became a mother to two children. Like that. And she was always feeling depressed that, you know, I have so much of duties to do with the children. I have to take care of my husband before he goes to work. You know, lunch pack and so forth like that. But I was so happy living in the temple without being married and so forth. And I could attend the full morning program. So then I asked her a question, what makes you depressed? He said, you know, the ecstasy of a morning program is such a wonderful thing that I'm not able to do it now because I'm a mother and a wife. So what should I do? Like that. And then I quoted another Mataji, I forget her name. She was also married. She was also married, and she also had difficulty in following the morning program because of having children now, moving out of the ashram, having their own apartment, and so forth. So she probably may have approached Srila Prabhupada like that, as the way I heard it. And Srila Prabhupada said something to the effect, we understand that you have duties as a mother and as a wife, like that. But you must do two things in the morning. You must chant your minimum 16 rounds, and you must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. So when I told this other Prabhupada disciple, the first one that I spoke about, and I told her, this is what Srila Prabhupada gave the instruction to that Mataji, so I'm just offering you the same thing. She said, but it's very difficult to chant my 16 rounds in the morning. What should I do? Because of so many family duties and so forth. Then I encouraged her, you should just chant as many rounds as you can before you exhibit your duties as a wife and as a mother to the children and to the husband in the morning, like that. And many devotees who used to live in temples, who used to follow a morning program, and who used to be involved in the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, now have to fend for themselves of basically working and putting food, clothing, and you know, for working for food, clothing, and shelter, like that. And they're not able to follow the full morning program as they used to do before. Like that. So that's one response. The other response would be that Srila Prabhupada was beginning a worldwide missionary movement, like that. And we are aware that even after being initiated, several devotees could not follow. So Srila Prabhupada was taking that risk, to actually, you know, implement, at least to some extent, Brahmanical culture within ISKCON, like that. And those who follow a nice morning program and engage in the mission of Krishna consciousness and giving advice to others are categorized as Brahmanas in that way. So basically he wants to institute Brahmanical culture, as I understand it over the years, within ISKCON. Others may fall short of that, especially a morning program, and they may be engaged in other duties and so forth. Then my third response would be, is that during Srila Prabhupada's time and thereafter, there was not much meaning to the Vanaprastha ashram. There was not much meaning to that at that time, everyone being relatively young and so forth. But you know, many, many years later now, the Varna ashram, at least the Vanaprastha ashram, should have more meaning for us now in ISKCON, the Vanaprastha ashram. Because those who are Vanaprasthas, you know, have the realization, have the wisdom, and have the experience in Grihastha ashram. And now most of our devotees are in the Grihastha ashram. So there should be a devotee communities that fulfills the basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter to Vanaprastha couples, so they can be free as the Brahmanas, you know, as the Brahmanas for that particular community. They can be free. But now we find that, you know, Vanaprastha devotees, they still have to fend for themselves. They still have to work and earn money for basic food, clothing, and shelter. So if the other devotee members of the devotee community frees them with their basic food, clothing, and shelter, they can give 5 years, 10 years of their life, and after the age of 55, 60, and become the actual Brahmanas from the community because of their experience, wisdom, and realizations in the previous ashrams. In that sense, that can be there. Is that all right, Dhanavir Maharaj, for now? I hope I've tried to answer. Yes. Oh, is that Sitaram? Yes. Okay.
So, the danger in your advocation of finding one's niche allows for certain individuals to find an excuse and to become excuse factories that now I cannot do this.
I agree, that's a danger. I agree.
So, therefore, you know, Srila Prabhupada made the point that there are no big devotees, there are no small devotees, everyone should attend the morning program. It's very definitive, and it is the most safest path. If one cannot do something due to some other service, and honestly engages like that, then it's fine. But when the dishonesty enters, which it does, then it becomes very dangerous.
Agreed. If you are able to follow the morning program, you must do it. Agreed.
Another point I wish to make is that in the purport, the word perfect, you know, perfect tolerance, perfect systems, comes up. This can also lead to some moroseness within individuals because they feel themselves imperfect to follow the perfection that
true.
Is being advocated.
True.
So how can also protect themselves from this?
Basically, there are two things for a devotee that's a little beyond Varnashram Dharma. One is Sadhu Sangha and Nama Shravan, chanting the holy names and the favorable association of devotees. So if we stick to these two principles, chanting the holy names in the favorable association of devotees, especially Vaishnav Seva, then we can be helped spiritually for the consciousness. Is that all right?
Yes.
Thank you. We can take one more question or so. There's a few minutes. I don't know who put the hand up first, so there's a few hands up. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for having this class. I can quickly agree that we need the villages in order to like raise our children properly. But in the meantime, because it's going to take time to get all these villages together, the parents...
It's not that it's going to take time. We are wasting time.
Yes. They just leave it to the army, slaughterhouse educational people to train their children, then they're obviously the ability.